Timothy has returned from Thessalonica with a good report of the situation there for the Apostle Paul. Paul, in turn, immediately sits down and writes this letter that we know is 1 Thessalonians to encourage those new Christians in their growth in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, as we consider today the report that Timothy brings to Paul regarding the spiritual state of those Thessalonian Christians, we ask that you would teach us the lessons that they needed to learn, that we also might learn them and put into practice those truths that are taught in the Word of God regarding faith and love. Please forgive our sins. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the Word of God. I'm reading today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May he add his wonderful blessings to our reading and hearing and understanding of it this day. At the time that the Apostle Paul received the report of Timothy, he was in Corinth ministering there alone. You remember he had traveled together with Silas and Timothy to Berea. Then the unconverted Jews from Thessalonica had chased them there in Berea, and Paul had been taken by the Berean Christians to Athens alone. From there he had called for Silas and Timothy to come, and when they arrived, he sent them off in different directions. We do not know where he sent Silas. We do know that he sent Timothy back to Thessalonica. And then Paul traveled on to Corinth, and he was involved in planting the church there in Corinth and ministering at that time. Timothy returns to him in Corinth and gives him this good report of the situation in Thessalonica. Paul had been concerned. Were these folks continuing in the Christian faith, or had their faith proved to be vain? Had Paul's labors among them been vain? Timothy returns with this good report and stresses that the Corinthian Christians are continuing in their Christian faith. They are known by this faith and also known by love. And so Paul rejoices. Now Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love. Those two marks, faith and love, are marks of genuine Christianity. They demonstrated to the Apostle Paul that his labor among the Thessalonians had not been in vain, that these folks indeed were Christians. Now, faith is the chief characteristic in the Bible that we see of a genuine conversion experience and a love for God Almighty. And so faith is the chief characteristic that men exercise toward God through Christ, and love is the chief characteristic that converted men exercise toward one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul hears this report of both genuine faith and genuine love given to him by Timothy regarding these Thessalonians, and this is evidence that he is looking for, evidence that the gospel has indeed taken root in the lives of these folks, that his preaching had indeed been blessed by the Holy Spirit and had borne fruit in Thessalonica. Faith toward God is demonstrated to Paul as the fact that they were new creatures in Christ. The reason for that, of course, is unregenerate men have no faith in God. They have no concept of the true God. They don't really want to know God in any way. And so in order to have faith in God, a person must be regenerate. And so when Paul hears this report that they have faith in God, he is rejoicing that this is evidence of a true work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They had turned to God from their sins, and they had put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and now had faith in God through Christ. And so this is evidence, once again, that Paul's work has not been in vain, that his labor was not in vain, that these Christians are genuine Christians, that they have been converted there. And also this faith in God has produced an effect of love toward one another. And so you've got these two genuine characteristics that are found in the New Testament, faith and love. Faith is exercised toward God through Christ. Love is exercised by converted men toward other converted men, toward other believers. And so in spite of the persecution that they were receiving in Thessalonica for their Christian faith, in spite of the fact that unconverted men, both Jews and Gentiles, were attacking these Christians, they are continuing in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're even growing in that faith. And so this is evidence that God has been at work among them. Their faith in God through Jesus remained firm in spite of persecution, and their love for one another was growing as well, and it bound them together even though they faced persecution from without. And Paul calls this good news. Now, that word, good news, is exactly the same word that everywhere else in the New Testament is used to describe the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. It's the gospel. This is the one place in the New Testament where this word is used, not referring to the gospel of Jesus Christ, but referring to the good news Paul heard of a good report given to him from Thessalonica by Timothy. And so what Paul has done here is he has chosen a term that expresses the highest regard that he has for this report that he has heard. This is the best thing that he can express, the greatest joy he can express. This is the good news, the gospel of the way in which the gospel indeed has taken root in the lives of these Thessalonians. And so he is rejoicing in the good news of their salvation, their continuing growth in grace, their continuing steadfast in faith in God in the face of persecution, their continuing love and growing love for one another. Along with the good news that these Thessalonian Christians are continuing in faith and in love, Timothy also brings Paul this report, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, and we also to see you. And so what Paul is rejoicing in here is that these Thessalonians have not been influenced by those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ, the enemies of the Apostle Paul, those who had been spreading slander and lies about Paul and Silas and Timothy. The enemies of Paul had been saying that Paul was nothing more than a charlatan, that he was just one among many of these traveling so-called evangelists who would blow into town, make great promises, bilk people out of their hard-earned income or property, and then skip town before they realized what was happening. That was going on. It went on then. It goes on, obviously, today in many parts of the world, even in our own country. There are charlatans rather than true preachers of the gospel. And so these enemies of Paul were saying Paul is nothing more than one of these liars. And yet they were the ones who were lying all about him. And so when Timothy brings back this report, it's an indication to Paul that they have not listened to these enemies, that they did not listen to the lies, that Paul didn't love them at all, or that Paul was merely trying to bilk them out of their income, or that Paul was only concerned about himself. No, what is happening here is they have not abandoned the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have not abandoned the missionaries, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, who brought the gospel message to them. They instead remember them fondly. And so Paul talks about, Timothy talks about how in the Thessalonian church that they look back in the past with fond memories of Paul bringing the gospel to them, and they also look forward in the future to being reunited with Paul and the others and being with them once again. And so they have not been poisoned by these lies. They have not been poisoned against the gospel, nor have they been poisoned against those who brought them the gospel, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, these missionaries. Their faith in God and their love for one another are evidence that they are genuine converts, and their fond memories of the past with Paul and their eager expectation of being reunited with him in the future are evidence that they still have a godly relationship with the ones who brought the gospel message to them. Do you see such evidences in your life today? Do you have faith in God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have love for one another in the body of Christ? Do you remember fondly those who led you to faith in Christ, who preached the gospel to you the very first time? And do you look forward to being reunited with them once again, either in this life or in glory? Those are evidences of genuine conversion, of genuine faith in God. I pray that you have such evidences in your life even today. This good news, this good report brings Paul great comfort. He says, "Therefore, brethren, in all our afflictions and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." And so once again, he underlines faith here. So this good news that Paul has heard from Timothy regarding these Thessalonians has comforted Paul's heart in the midst of great difficulties. He mentions two kinds of difficulties here. He uses the word all our affliction and also all our distress. Now, affliction has to do with trouble that involves direct suffering of some kind, whereas distress is just a general term that involves the state of being troubled and upset and distressed. So what Paul is saying here is that while he was apart from the Thessalonians, first in Athens and now in Corinth, that he was in a general state of being distressed and that he was directly suffering at the same time. That general state of being troubled or distressed probably came because he was worried about the Thessalonians. They hadn't had much time to spend there in Thessalonica, only up to perhaps 4 weeks, and he was concerned about whether or not they were continuing in faith or whether or not his labor had been in vain. And so Paul is in this general state of unease and distress, but at the same time he is being afflicted. And possibly this affliction is coming because he's being hounded from town to town by enemies of the cross who are persecuting Paul, trying to have him arrested or executed or just simply murdering him. And so there is this general suffering, this general affliction that Paul is facing from these enemies of the cross of Christ, as well as the distress of his soul in not knowing the condition of his loved ones there in Corinth, Thessalonica. And so the one thing that has helped relieve this distress on the part of the Apostle Paul is this good report that comes from Timothy. It's a good report regarding their faith. And so he says he is given a new hope. He is given great comfort by this report. Now, once again, that word comfort is the word, it's the verb form of the word that has to do with what the Holy Spirit is. He is the comforter. He is the one who comes alongside. He is the one who aids us. And so Paul says this good news of the faith of the Thessalonians comes alongside of him and encourages him and comforts him and aids him in the midst of his general distress and his particular afflictions that he is facing for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he finds encouragement in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trouble. Paul says something very unusual then. He says, "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." The words "for now we live" indicate that Paul had been feeling dead inside, that as he awaited the news of the Thessalonians, whether they were genuinely converted or whether they had abandoned the faith and were never converted at all, the Apostle Paul felt dead inside. Now, let me give an illustration that may help you to understand what this means. Imagine for a moment that you receive a telephone call from the police, and they tell you that your spouse has been involved in a car wreck and has been rushed to the hospital. You immediately go to the hospital, and when you arrive there, you discover that she is in surgery, and you can't be with her at that moment because she's being worked on by the doctors. And so you are ushered into a waiting room where you spend the time in anguish. You are dead inside. You are praying. You are asking God to intervene. You are full of both hope and despair at the same time. You don't know what to believe. And so you're in anguish here. And then the doctor comes out, and the doctor tells you that not only will she recover from her injuries, but she will make a full recovery. And your despair, your anguish turns to immediate joy upon hearing that report. That is something like what Paul is going through here. He has been in anguish, worrying about the spiritual state of the Thessalonian Christians. Now he has heard this report. They'll live. They do live, in fact. And he rejoices greatly over this. And so his rejoicing is tied together to the fact that the Thessalonians are standing firm or standing fast in the Lord, that the trials have come to test their faith, and they have stood up under those trials as God promises in Scripture. And they have persevered under these trials. They're continuing to stand firm. They're growing in grace. And therefore, they're giving evidence that there is a true work of God going on in their hearts because of all of this. And so Paul rejoices greatly. He understands that this is good news of their continuing to hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, to hold fast to the gospel no matter what. It's evidence of God's blessing them through the gospel, blessing the planting of that gospel seed preached by Paul, and therefore of God's blessing upon Paul's ministry, and evidence that Paul's labors among the Thessalonians had not been in vain. The immediate response of Paul's heart is to give thanks to God. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? And so Paul recognizes that these results have not come upon the Thessalonian Christians because they were better than others. No, they are sinners, just like all of us, just like the rest. Nor did these results come because Paul was a better missionary than anyone else. Paul recognizes Silas and even young Timothy as his equals and co-laborers in the gospel. And so he's not holding himself above them, thinking these results came because I'm a really good missionary. They came about because God has brought these results into the lives of the Thessalonians. Paul is not proud of his accomplishments among them, but immediately turns to praise God in prayer for the work of God among them, while at the same time confessing to the Thessalonians that he doesn't even have the words to speak to express his great joy to God for the work that God has done in their midst. And so Paul's deadness of heart has now become a living joy when he hears this good report, that since his departure, not only have they not fallen away from the gospel, but they have stuck fast by the gospel and even grown in the gospel together. And so this is evidently a work of God's Holy Spirit among them. It causes Paul to rejoice greatly in the Lord at the mercy and the greatness of God given to men through Jesus Christ our Savior. And so he doesn't think, look what I did, what a great missionary I am. What Paul seems to be thinking here is, Look what a great God our God is. Look what God has done in the lives of these folks. And so he rejoices in God, not in himself. And he praises God and says, I don't even have the words to express my great joy to God for all that he has done among you through the gospel message. Do you rejoice when you hear that those to whom you have witnessed, who have made a profession of faith in Christ in the past, are continuing in the Lord Jesus Christ, are continuing to go on in Christ and to grow in Christ? Does that bring joy to your heart as it did to the heart of the Apostle Paul? And he says, night and day, praying exceedingly. And so the Apostle Paul continues to pray for these Thessalonians. This report has brought him great joy, and he continues to pray for these folks. He prays for them both night and day, continually. This is a habit that Paul has that is expressed throughout the Scriptures, how he does this in a regular way, that this was Paul's default setting as a Christian, that he prayed always, that he prayed night and day, that he prayed, as he says here, exceedingly. Now, that's a term that indicates that he is praying for them with all kinds of prayers. He is praying for them with thanksgiving to God for their faith in Jesus Christ, for their love for one another, for their growth in grace in Christ. He is making requests to God that they would continue to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is confessing to God their failings and the areas that he knows that they need to continue to grow in. And he is making supplication to God for specific needs of specific individuals in those congregations in Thessalonica. And so all of these prayers are wrapped up together in this praying exceedingly. And together with that is also Paul's own prayer that he would be able to return to be with them and see them face to face very soon. He says that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Paul wanted to see the faces of these Thessalonian believers once again. It was a longing that he had in his heart to be together with them. He had grown to love them, even though he had only been with them for a short period of time. And he desires deeply and greatly to return to be with them once again. Now, letters were good and necessary things. Paul's writing 1 Thessalonians as a letter to these Christians to encourage them in the Christian faith. And so these are helpful means of communication. These are ways to keep in touch with one another. In our day, there's video chatting. There is this YouTube channel, for example, which helps us to maintain contact with others who are far away from us. These things are good. But, and here's the important thing to recognize, neither letters, nor video chatting, nor telephone calls, nor YouTube channels are any substitute for personal, one-to-one, face-to-face fellowship with each other. Paul longs to see them face-to-face. And so you and I also ought to long to be with one another in church and not ever settle for videos or phone calls or text messages with each other. A sad effect of the recent pandemic has been that church attendance went down during that time, obviously, because many churches were shuttered. But then when churches opened up, many folks did not come back. And the reason was they became complacent. They began to substitute videos for personal attendance in the worship of Almighty God. And those things are no genuine substitute. This YouTube video, as much as I enjoy making it, as much as I pray that it will be helpful, is no substitute for your personal attendance at the worship of Almighty God in church on the Lord's Day. And so that's what Paul is expressing here. These things are helpful, letters and video chatting and text messages and YouTube channels and all of that. These things are helpful, but they are no substitute at all for the personal interaction we have with one another as we gather together with the people of God to worship Almighty God on the Lord's Day. And we should never substitute them for that in any way. So Paul recognizes that these Thessalonians had maintained their Christian profession of faith, even though there was still more that needed to be done among them. And so he and Silas and Timothy had been there in Thessalonica for possibly as short amount of time as 2 weeks, maybe as long as a month, but not more than that. He had sent Timothy back with further instructions for these folks, but Paul longs to return to be with them face to face, to see them, and then to complete the work that had been begun among them in the preaching of the gospel. He wanted to, as he says, perfect them, which is a term that means to enable them to grow to maturity, to enable them to become complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, Paul does not believe he can do this on his own. No minister of the gospel can. But Paul recognizes that this is a work of the Holy Spirit. However, the Holy Spirit could use Paul as his human instrument in training these Christians in Thessalonica. And so he wants to be that. He wants to be that human instrument that God would use in imparting to them those things that are still lacking in their understanding and growth and practice of the Christian faith. So these Thessalonian Christians had maintained the gospel. They continued in Christ. They were solid in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had stood firm under persecution, but they're not perfect. And so they still have a long way to go. There are still things that Paul has not had a chance to explain to them about the Christian faith because of the short period of time he had spent with them. And so he longs to go back and to fill in the gaps, to plug the holes in their understanding, to broaden their understanding of how the gospel has an impact upon all of our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he wants to be God's servant used to help these folks grow in grace in Christ. There's still a long way to go. Paul longs to assist them, and so he is praying to God that God would send him back to do just exactly that. He hopes to fill in, as I said, whatever is lacking in their understanding. So how about you? Are you continuing to grow in faith toward God and love toward one another? Are you assisting others in their growth in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you praying with thanksgiving to God for those whom you have witnessed to, that you have seen make a profession of faith and continue in that faith? Are you witnessing to the lost about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? For without Him, no man shall ever see God. And so I encourage you, I urge you, do these things. Be this human instrument to take the gospel to the lost, that they might turn to Christ and be saved. And if you're listening today and have never turned to Christ yourself, I urge you, do not put it off. Flee from sin. Trust in Jesus. He is the only Redeemer, the only Savior of sinners. Put your faith in Him today, and you will never be disappointed. Amen. Let us pray once again. Almighty and gracious God, we thank You so much for the gospel that produces such fruit in our lives of faith toward You through Christ and of love toward one another. We thank You for the way in which You work in our lives, that we are led to pray for others, to witness to others. And Lord, we pray that we might have that same heart attitude that the Apostle Paul had, to see to the growth of those to whom we have witnessed of the gospel of Christ, to rejoice with them that they're continuing in the Christian faith, and to aid them in growing to know Christ better. So bless us in this, we pray. And Lord, for any who are apart from Christ today, open their eyes to see the gospel, unstop their ears to hear the gospel, and grant to them hearts that beat in rhythm with the gospel, that they might trust in Christ and flee from sin. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to bringing the Word of God again next time.